With Montana News, I'm Austin Amastoy. Montana's Environmental Regulatory Agency has a new leader. The change comes amid ongoing litigation, revisions to major policies, and a legislative session at the start of next year. Montana Public Radio's Ellis Julin recently sat down with the agency's now former director, Chris Dorrington, to hear more about his work for the department and the plans he leaves in progress.
You've been at DEQ for almost a decade and been the head of the agency since 2021. And going over for our listeners some highlights during your time as director, there have been proposed changes back and forth over water quality standards, addressing nutrient pollution. You've had harmful algal blooms, impaired river listings, the country's first youth-led constitutional climate case held versus Montana, selenium standards. You've chaired the governor's housing task force, and you've proposed changes to the state's bedrock environmental policy, MEPA. Just to name a couple.
Just little light topics.
Yeah, nothing too heavy. What out of those or any of the things that you've been involved with in your time as the leader of DEQ, what really stands out to you?
I think the first thing is just the strength of our agency. Putting a people-first approach, I'm really proud that we've reduced our vacancy rate. We have healthy and whole humans that work here first. And I think I want to stress that for so much of what people look at the state government to do is provide an answer or a service. And I think we've done really well at that.
And with that, Montana's constitution says that the state and each person shall maintain and improve a clean and healthful environment. I'm sure that clause is probably seared into your brain at this point. What does that mean to you?
The importance of that portion of the state constitution has certainly gained a lot of importance. The way in which and the lens by which more people have become familiar with it, I think, is actually a good thing. I think it has brought about the ardent opinion of many sides, and that complexity and that contestation, even the argumentative piece of it that lends itself to litigation where we are right now, I think is reflective of how important it is.
Do you think that public sentiment or public awareness of that clause has changed in your time at the agency?
Public engagement that and public education are not the same thing. What I think is, you know, through the regulatory decades, we have kind of taken for granted that those people that provide input know how to do that, and that you know, substantive is known by all, but it really, through the dialogue, it really isn't. And it also doesn't mean that someone who doesn't have a really strong scientific background, let's say they don't have a PhD, it has no bearing on whether their comment and worry, their interest in a project is irrelevant. It's highly relevant for anyone who feels a project could have an impact on them to raise their voice and say, I think this matters to me and here's why, and then dig into the details. I do think overall people have a tough time finding our information and digesting it. We can have hundreds of pages of analysis. It's hard to get to simple, but boy, do we try really hard to make it available, summarize it, explain it, and then listen intently when people have interest in what's going on.
The state and DEQ is reviewing suggestions from the MEPA working group that could really overhaul the bedrock of Montana's environmental policy. Why did you decide that that was important to do, and why now?
Modernize is a term that's been also demonized. I don't think there's any ill intent in trying to bring forth a standard that's protective into an era where Montana's at a peak growth state. You know, community protections, natural resource protections, public interest protections, all of those collide in MEPA. And I think one of my primary efforts is to get out more information about it, gain increased education and experience with regard to that decision making, and then really highlight the friction points and the stakes.
You're leaving DEQ about a week and a half before the Supreme Court is hearing arguments in the state's appeal of a lower court's decision in the youth-led climate case held versus Montana. Why now?
It has nothing to do with held. The Department of Transportation lost its director through retirement. Mac Long left in this spring.
How has climate change influenced your leadership of DEQ?
At this point in my career, realized that stepping away from an issue is more harmful than stepping into an issue. And so I've not shied away from really complex and very strongly held opinions and dialogue. I think climate change is a good example of what we've not stepped away from. I think we've pressed in to the limit that I believe is fitting. And we look forward to what the legislature have to say, and also what the Supreme Court decision and their role and how they determine the next steps for our state.
Do you think that climate change poses a threat to Montana and its citizens?
I think it'd be silly not to say that we've seen our seasons change, the impact of extreme weather events affect both our people and our land. The drought data that we see has been pretty clear. We had a very, very mild winter, which is abnormal, and snowpack that affects our wildfire season. I think we've definitely seen weather impacts to Montanans, and also to our jobs, our economy, our way of life.
In hindsight, looking back on your time as a division administrator and as the director, is there anything that you would do differently?
I don't really look back at history that way. I really look at what we've done well, and I always look forward to what we can do as well or better.
Is there anything else you want to touch on or anything else you'd like to say?
What I would like Montana to know is that, and its citizens, is that the job of the environmental agency is really a complex one. When you stand between yes and no in every decision you make, I think the contestation that has become more commonplace. I think it's almost to the point it's disrespectful of the really hard work of humans that occupy these positions. There's people here, and they really care about what they do, and they want to do well.
When you say contestation, do you mean in a legal sense?
In the worst place, yeah. I mean, in almost every decision we make, there are some that believe it's a good idea and some it's a bad idea, and some that we haven't done enough hard work or enough public engagement in order to advise. In the worst sense, we would end up in court. And that takes a lot of time and energy away from other good work. And it's not that people don't have the right to engage the court in decision-making about the agency's work, but it seems to be a more common path than it has in the past. And I think it's, one, draining, and two, very costly.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
You bet.
Stay tuned for Ellis's interview with the agency's incoming director this afternoon. I'm Austin Amestoy, and you are listening to Montana Public Radio.